You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
I feel like some of us need a Holy Spirit pacemaker. Some of us are in stage 3 spirit block. Yep. And we need to get shocked back into order. Thank God that my God is a shocking God, that even his throne explodes into lightnings. I know I say it every week, and the danger of me saying it every week is that it could become wallpaper to your soul, but the reality is the only time that the character, the nature of God becomes wallpaper to your soul is when you allow him to not be real anymore. When you start reading scripture and you're not placing yourself inside the text. It's not just an academic pursuit. It's not, you know, I don't read the book of Revelation necessarily to get my eschatology all right. I read the book of Revelation to get a revelation of Jesus. By the way, that actually is the title of the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus. It's not the book where everybody dies in the end. Jesus is life. And he came not only to give us life, but life abundantly. And when anyone, their vision of the majesty of Christ begins to grow dim, I always point them back to Revelation 4. There's a whole lot of reasons why I point people to Revelation 4. Sometimes when people talk to me about, well, you know, you got to do things decently and in order, I point them to Revelation 4. Because the throne room is a highly active, noisy, crazy space. You know, I've seen people say, well, I don't know why. Why do we have so many lights in church? Not here because we don't have that many lights. But, you know, sometimes we like to criticize what other people are doing. I just stop it. If Paul was okay with the gospel being preached, no matter what the motivation was, I think I can do that too. I just want to see kingdom come. But the reality is, in the throne room, there's a whole lot of lights going on. It's pretty noisy. It's amped up. You know, it has never grown dim in my heart, the reality that the throne of Jesus was constructed by the best craftsmen in heaven with the best of the heavenly materials, and they were waiting and anticipating the ascension. I just can imagine, you know, all of heaven waiting with bated breath as the King of Glory returns to sit on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And they're like, oh, we made you a good seat. Oh, this is a good one. This throne's going to rule. It's going to last forever and ever. And then he sits on it and the thing explodes with thunders and lightnings. Why? Because nothing created can contain his glory. When he moves, something happens. When he descends, something happens. And when he moves upon you, you better believe something happens. And I don't want to stop just at the goosebumps. I want to be the throne that explodes into thunders and lightnings because Jesus decided in a moment to sit on me. That's what I want. How many people want Jesus to sit on them today? If you like dignity, in sort of maybe a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant way, you might struggle with Jesus sitting on you. Because I've been in cultures. I have ministered in multiple nations in Asia. I've ministered in multiple villages in Africa and in the mountains of Central America and across the United States. And let me tell you, when God moves, it all looks the same. Culture becomes irrelevant when the King of Glory enters the room. Bodies start to shake. I mean, demons start to flee. People become awakened to the light and the love and the glory and the grace of Jesus. And I don't care. It's every tribe and tongue and nation declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord because he just stepped into the room and he sat on a few people. Jesus, come and sit on me today. I do still say that with a little bit of fear and trepidation. I say that pretty confidently because I'm not a big manifester, you know. I'm not, you know, when back in the revival days and everybody's manifesting, like what Aaron Evans used to say, I have the standing up anointing. And I could just stand there and, you know, they would send Delta Force ministry teams after me and they'd be blowing on me, waving at me, you know, shundying all over me. And I'd just be standing there, but I'm getting God. And a lot of times I would get him like 4 days later. I'm weird. I had one minister tell me, you're just a slow drinker. I guess so. I get prayed on Sunday and then all of a sudden I get whacked on Thursday. It was almost like clockwork. It was like 4 days later. It would have been cooler if it was like 3 days, because then it could have been like a metaphor for resurrection. You know, third day's coming, Sunday's coming, let's go. Jesus is going to sit on me. But, you know, but it happens. But the few times that it actually happened, you know what it's like. The people that normally get hit in the spirit like that, then they're like, oh, you're part of the club now. They've been waiting like weeks and weeks and months for me to, you know, just get whacked in the spirit or whatever you want to call it. And now they're all happy. But the reality is the next week I'm standing up again. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 46. It's a word for the Lord for today. And as we were in worship, I was rueing the fact that I likely, it's not the blood of Jesus, we're done with that series, but the blood of Jesus is awesome. I was ruining the fact that I likely have to throw away my notes today, because I felt the Spirit moving in a different direction. But I'm going to read Psalm 46 and gracefully ask the Lord to let me do my notes, because they're pretty good. But he doesn't care about my notes. He cares that I planned so that he could direct steps. So Psalm 46 is for the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. I wonder what that song sounded like. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Pause. Reflect. Verse 10, most of us know that in the traditional sense of be still and know that I am God. And when I began to read this psalm, this is where I really wanted to be, but I couldn't get out of the first five verses because there's so much richness in this space. We're living in a time, we're living in a season where it is incumbent upon us to find the space of refuge and strength in our God. Why? Because we're in the import-export business. We have to be importing the things of heaven so that we have something to release on earth. It's not just so that we get to hang out in a place of safety. We don't have an escapist religion. We're not just escaping something. You know, we actually had a Boston news crew here in this church this week interviewing me. And one of the questions, which will probably never make the cut, was how do you get to heaven? And I thought about it for a second and I said, well, the reality is how you get to heaven is you make Jesus the primary authority of your life. That's what we need to do. He's not just my friend. He's not my buddy. He's not my homie. That was kind of a popular t-shirt 15 or 20 years ago. He wants to be our friend, but we have to be his friend in order for him to be our friend. Does that make sense? See, Jesus after 3 years of his disciples walking with him faithfully, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. That doesn't include people that walk into a church on Sunday and then don't think about it Monday through Saturday. I'm not saying that's you, I'm just saying that's the reality. And there was a song that was popular years ago, I am a friend of God, and I'm watching people sing this song and I'm thinking, I'm not sure that you are. I mean, I hope that you are. But when I look at the scriptural precedent of what friendship with God looks like, it brings me back to the book of Revelation that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. When you love not your life unto death, you are not shaken by the momentary afflictions or the momentary shakings that hit the ground or hit the earth. And the reality is we all will be. We all will be shaken at one point because we're human. It's a human condition. I would love to think that I am unshakable. I did a series a year ago or a couple years ago called Unshakable. And the funny thing is when you do something like that, the Lord will always test you in what you speak. So it always makes me a little bit nervous about what I speak because I know the Lord's going to test me in it. I love to think that I am above and beyond, but I'm actually not. I can be shaken. I don't want to be shaken. I'm kind of a hammerhead. But still, the Lord will test you even in what you think your strength is. And so we're living in this time. We know that we're living in this time. And it's not so much that everything on the earth is worse than it's ever been. It's just that we have access to information very quickly. And the loudest voice in the room is the one that's heard. But as I was talking to this news crew about salvation, I had to go there. I said, look, heaven is a goal. You know, even Paul said, I run for the prize. We have to have heaven in mind. We have to have this prize in mind. It's the finish line. When you run a race, you're running to be the first one across the finish line. I always wanted to be the guy that broke the ribbon, even though I only ran track 1 year because it was awful. It was the worst athletic experience of my life. I need something to chase. And not like just people. Like I need a ball. Like I'm like a dog on the dog track, you know, where they have like the little mechanical, I know that's, you know, animal rights people, but you know, they have the little mechanical rabbit that goes around, the dogs are chasing the rabbit. I need that. I'm not motivated enough just to beat my personal best. I need to beat something else. Maybe a person, but you know, I need to beat someone, something. It's not my thing. But the thing that used to really motivate me was when I was playing soccer to see the ball hit the back of the net. There was just something beautiful about that. When you beat that goalie and sometimes the ball would just trickle in. Like one of my best goals was I barely touched the ball and it just slowly rolled over. And it was great. It was momentous because we were supposed to get killed by this team, you know, but it slowly rolled over. But I didn't get to see it hit the back of the net. Still, I got up and celebrated, but there's something about that moment where that feeling of achievement when you strike the ball and it goes where you want it to go. Or you strike the ball and it accidentally goes a different way and it still goes in the back of the net. That happens too. But there's something about the prize that we do need to run to, but the problem is so much of the church has made Christianity an escapist religion. When Jesus said, kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That there's a task that we are here. That Paul taught the church in Corinth that we are now therefore Christ's ambassadors as though he's making his appeal through us. He didn't say, go wait on a mountaintop until I return. He said, go and occupy, expand the kingdom, walk in the earth, go into all the world and preach the good news until I come back. What is he saying? He's saying, the word actually says, as he is, so are we on the earth. Not as he was walking. It's that he had already ascended and he's already in heaven, already on the throne, already glorified. And the word says, as he is, so are we in this earth. There is power in the name of Jesus. The word says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. That means that all of the coursing creative power of the deity of God is whirling and twirling and churning inside of you, and that his power is perfected in your weakness. He is able to do above and beyond anything that you could ever ask or think. And so even in times of trouble, he is our refuge. He is our strength. But not so that we can escape something, but so that we can display something. So this is where I diverge. Because I've heard so many messages or just utterances or prophetic things about be still and know that I'm a God. And sometimes people use it to try to get, you know, worship to match their taste because they don't like all the noise. And so they're like, well, when are we going to be still and know that he's God? When are we going to wait on the Lord? But it's not about living a sedentary lifestyle so that God can reveal himself. You've got to understand what this is in its context. What is the writer? What is the psalmist saying? What words of God is he actually reflecting in that moment? This word is for now. This word, we are in Psalm 46 right now. And society has been running to things and places and events and even other spiritual activities to find a space of refuge, to find a space of strength. Why? Because we were made for this. The latest studies show that atheism is actually on the decline, particularly in Gen Z. But they're not running to Christianity, they're open to spirituality. Why? Because we cannot allow Christianity just to become a system. It's a life of the Spirit. If we lose sight of the reality of Jesus of Revelation 4, then we've lost the battle already. If we lose sight of the fact that that same Spirit, the Spirit that rolled the stone away, the Spirit that breathed life back into the body of Jesus and called him forth to come and be king, that Spirit is in you, that Spirit is in me, and he's able to do above and beyond anything that you could ever dream of. So you gotta up your asker, you gotta up your thinker. And dare to dream again. So the nations are raging. Cultures are in tumult. I understand the media has its voice and the media picks and chooses what they want to report on. There are riots on the streets of Europe right now. There are difficulties in the land. Lives are being lost. We are divided even in the kingdom along political lines instead of finding the space of unity that allows us to love each other on the other side of disagreement. We have devolved our method of communication to the lower standard of the voice of the spirit of this age instead of understanding that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus for strategic perspective of what is happening on earth. And from that space, we can be agents of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. There is a mission that is above all other missions. And that mission's name is Jesus. And I'm telling you that there is power in his name. There is power in his blood to break every chain. Find the hardest looking dude in the room and speak life to him. And watch what God does. You might not close a deal in the moment, but you're going to impart the reality of the king and his kingdom. And so we look at Psalm 46:10. And we think, be still and know that I'm God. And we, you know, sometimes we think, well, that just means I gotta stop. Let me tell you what this looks like. I've told this story before, but it's been a while. It's a good 4th of July story. About 18 years ago, a couple friends of ours invited us to go to Boston. Maybe it was 20 years ago. Time flies when you're 51. And some of y'all are saying, oh, he's just a baby. You never stop being a baby. I'm the youngest in the family. I'm always going to be the baby. Forever and ever, amen. So we go to Boston. We get there real early because, you know, I don't know, what is it, 500,000 people go? Something like that. Could be more now. It's a couple decades ago. There's less people maybe. And so we go in and they decide to sit by this dumpster because they're like, and nobody's going to want to be here. We're going to sit by the trash can, the giant trash can. So we sat there. We played cards for a while. And there wasn't that many people there. There was a few people. But it was a good vantage point. You know, we were there right by the Charles, and the Esplanade was kind of, you know, down the way. You couldn't quite see it, but it was a good spot for this. And as the afternoon went on, you know, more people start showing up because it's the fireworks in Boston. And you guys all know how much I love crowds. You know, 6 o'clock comes by, there's a few more people, and by a few more, I mean a few thousand more. 7 o'clock, a few thousand more. 8 o'clock, it's starting to get a little tight. And there's a nice little path, like a walking path, or maybe you could rollerblade or bike or whatever that's there. It's right next to the Charles, and we were on the other side of that by this big trash can. And even the trash can space was starting to be encroached upon. And then something happened between like 8:45 and 9 p.m. Like the last 400,000 people decided it's time to show up. It was amazing to watch, like, just how all of the spaces began to fill. And personal space began to be less of a thing. And when that happens, you can start to feel, if you're a feeler at all, I'm a feeler, you can start to feel the tension rise. You got people bumping into each other, they're looking at you like, what are you touching me for? More people are coming and people are starting to press together. And I remember there was this guy that decided it was a good idea to try to ride his bike down the bike path thing. Wow, there's like 500,000 people packed in like sardines. And now he's not only bumping into people with his body, he's bumping into people with his bike. And the tension's rising. And I'm watching this thing, and there's about to be a brawl that's about to go down within about 30 feet of my face. People start yelling at each other. People start looking at each other. There's conflict in the land. But then something happens. In the darkness of the sky, a light shows up. And everything changes. I watched people that were stuck in their space. They were stuck in the conflict. They were stuck in what they felt like they were being invaded, that they were being violated, that unjust things were happening to them. And everything stopped when the light filled the skies. And there was the first boom. And 500,000 plus people shifted their gaze out of their circumstance, and they looked and beheld something greater. All of the activity, all of the motion, all of the boisterousness ceased in a moment when this glory filled the skies. Be still and know that I am God. Now we begin to get a picture of what this psalm is talking about. This God who would come down and step into the midst of our conflict and break the bow and break the spear in two. The God that can cause mountains to melt like wax. This God who can descend upon the top of a mountain in thick black smoke, and even from that mountain, thunders and lightnings proceed, so much so that Israel began to shrink back because they were afraid of this presence of God, this awe of God that was on display for all to see. There was fear, abject terror, because what used to be the sound of Abba was now the sound of judgment. What do you think it sounded like when they heard the sound of God walking in the garden to the spirit, to the cool of the day is our translation, but it's really to the ruach of the day. What do you think it sounded like? He wasn't twinkling through the tulips. It wasn't leaves crackling under his feet as he's walking through the garden like I would. When God moves on the earth, he blazes a trail of fire and thunders and lightnings. It's just in that space. It was Abba until they ate of the wrong fruit. I don't believe that was the first time they ever heard the sound. But when they chose a lesser path and their eyes were open to the knowledge of good and evil, now this sound became the sound of possible judgment. We better hide. And so for the first time in all creation, mankind hid from the face of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim behind a tree in the garden. We've been hiding behind that tree ever since. Knowledge. Well, I know. How do you get to heaven? Well, if I'm just good enough. The knowledge of good and evil, when all he ever wanted was a family that would live from life, innocent, pure, not stained by evil or even the knowledge of it. And I happen to believe that in time he would have imparted his wisdom to humanity in the timing that he saw fit. But he wanted it to come from that tree of life. He didn't want us to do some kind of end around and listen to the voice of the enemy, that all he really said was, did God really say? He's still saying that today. Did God really say, if you confess your sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive your sin every single time? Oh, I'm not sure about that. I feel pretty bad about what I did. I came to church today. Yeah, I came. I made myself come, but I didn't feel like I could really engage in worship because I don't deserve to feel his goodness. I don't deserve to feel the presence of God move upon me. And I feel like my worship would even be tainted because I know what I did last night. I know what I did last week. And all the while, Jesus is on the throne extending his scepter of justice toward you, saying, you're justified by the blood, you're righteous by faith. It's the end of the story. In the midst of your tumult, in the midst of the disarray of your life and all of the conflict and the hardship that you're experiencing, oh, my glory is about to fill the skies. Be still and know that I am God. I believe that moment is coming again. We're in the calm before the storm. And you might say, oh, we're in storms right now. Look, when heaven storms, it is greater than every other storm. And when heaven storms, he rains down on the earth. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. And when God rains, it's not just water that falls, it's fire too. God's the only one that can seem to make fire and water work together pretty well. I suspect it's because he drops a little bit of oil in the mix before he pours out the new wine. So I'm not necessarily asking you to be still. There are times to stop. I mean, Sabbath literally means to stop. Genesis 1:28, the very first thing that God did to humanity was bless. I've literally heard people say, well, God doesn't want to bless people. I understand, but when we live in a way that we're more concerned about error than we are about truth, we end in error. Because what you focus on, you make room for. What you fear, you empower. That was one of the things discussed with this news crew this week. It was like, I just want to talk about truth. I can't be worried about every little thing that's going on out there. I have truth. I have the word of the Lord that is sharper than any two-edged sword to divide between the issues of the soul and the spirit. I can't be concerned about every wind of doctrine that's going on out there because I can speak the truth and have someone be set free. Last night, we celebrated Nance, 1 year of freedom. And I was looking at you, Nance. Yeah, give her a hand. It was awesome. And I was looking at you, Nance, and you know, I know that one of the tenets is one day at a time. And I thought, man, you did one day at a time 365 times over the last year. And you kept, what was the thing they say? Just to keep showing up? Keep coming back. And you talked to me this week about some of your struggles. And I'm saying to you right now, keep coming back. You've been here, what, 16, 17 years? Thursdays, coming in, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning all your stuff. Keep coming back. It's just the beginning. I've known you for 20 years. 20 years I've watched you. I've watched this listless being with a spirit inside that was so waiting to break out. And a year ago, something happened and you became transformed. You began to saturate yourself in the word. You began to speak differently, walk differently. You're not without struggle. I got struggles. I just got a good poker face. 365 one days at a time because you keep showing up. What am I saying to you? Keep showing up. Amen. However you feel, whatever your struggle is. And I'm not even talking about Sunday. I'm talking about in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Keep showing up because there's gonna come a moment where his glory fills the skies. We can be worried about what they're doing, what culture's doing, what that church is doing, what that mega church is doing, but there's a moment when God comes and there's a boom in the sky and his word comes forth with power and you will see gaze is shifting upward and looking full into his wonderful face. And then suddenly the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light, and the light, and the light, because his glory filled the skies. God, I prophesy over Natick. I prophesy over Metro West. I prophesy over New England, this nation and the nations. There's a storm coming. And I'm not talking about the storms of the earth, but there's a storm in heaven. Oh, I looked out of the horizon and I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, but he is coming. He is coming. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe it. I receive it. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Something akin to the Welsh revival is coming back to the land. And it's not just about revival where I'm having people come to my good meetings, but revival unto reformation, unto transformation. Love, joy, and peace is about to be the marker of New England. Once again, and they're not going to say, oh, that's a minister's graveyard. I'm going to say, it's the fertile soil of a garden that is rising up. And I will not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's stand together. So how do you do it? How do you stand in him when the nations rage? You see the bow and the spear, and you don't know when, you don't know if, God is going to come and break it. You see, the chains of your history that hold you back from your destiny, and you don't know when, you don't know if, the voice of the Lord is going to break it. Well, I'm here to tell you, breakthrough, the breakthrough that you've been longing for happened 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, we're in the final hour. It's just one really long hour. And now we just got to follow through. Take a look at those chains around your feet, the things that have shackled you, and see with the eyes of the Spirit and recognize that those things are broken. Now, step out. Just step out. And if you struggle, if your vision has grown dim, you can't see out of the box of your circumstance, call upon the name of the Lord. The word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God is with me. So you call upon the name of the Lord, not just when you feel like it, but because you recognize that he's been given the name that is above all names. And so you call upon El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty is with me. You call upon El Elyon, the Most High God is with me. You call upon Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner is with me. You call upon Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd is with me. You call upon Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer is with me. You call upon Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness is with me. You call upon El Olam, the everlasting God is within me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, is with me. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is with me. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is peace, is with me. And Jehovah Shammah, the God who always shows up just in time, adorned in all glory and majesty. He is always with me. You call upon the name of the Lord. So I want to call the ministry team up. If you don't know if you're on today, just come. Because we want to pray for you. You need physical healing, we're going to pray for you. If you're stuck in your circumstances, we want to pray and connect you to the breakthrough that was already released by the power of the cross. We celebrated the blood and the body of Jesus, his body broken, his blood shed. And let me tell you, when the blood of the Lamb who was slain, the blood of the one who is known as the Word that became flesh and walked among us, when that blood hits the ground, it never stops crying out, and it speaks a better word over you and over me. Thank God. But for the grace of God, there go I. So if you're here or you're online and you don't know him like this, I want to introduce you. He's not here to whack you over the head. Romans chapter 2, it literally says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He's going to deal with issues in your life. Don't get me wrong. And he'll do it in the order that he sees fit, not in the order that I think is best. But he always leads with his goodness. Because he wants us to live from love that will lead us to an encounter that will restore the awe of God back to your heart. If you're here, you're online, or if you're here and you recognize, when I think of God, I'm not filled with awe. It's nice, I get goosebumps here and there. this God of Revelation 4, this Jesus who moves upon created things and they just blow up because they can't contain the beauty of his glory. That his voice and his names flow inside the thunders and the lightnings. God, I want to be your throne. Sit on me. I got a river of life flowing out of me, but right now it's just a little tributary. It's just a little stream. Break the dams, God. Restore the awe of the beauty of the Lord to our hearts. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. It's just a marker. But it's the attitude of the heart that will set you free. God, I believe, help my unbelief. It's one of my favorite prayers. So pray this after me. God, I want to know you. And I accept your gift of life to me. I accept Jesus' death and his resurrection from death that reversed the curse of sin and death in my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my way and I turn towards your way. Please reveal your love to me now. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for hearing me and honoring my request. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Spirit of Revelation, come. Glory of God, the weighty Chabod, the mystery of the glory revealed on earth. Kingdom of heaven, here now. The will of the Father fully manifesting here now. Because of the power of the cross, the power of the blood, and the power of Yeshua, the anointed one who has ascended to the right hand of Abba, so that we could go there with him. I speak the awe and the wonder of the living God. Now I want to read this one more time, and then we'll open up the altar out of the Passion Translation. This is how we started today. Psalm 46. God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear. Even if every structure of support were to crumble away, we will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. Pause in his presence. God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. Here he comes, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. So pause in his presence like you would have a choice. Everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. for he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. And so we stop. We pause as your glory fills the skies. Spirit of revelation. Spirit of burning. Spirit of revival. We make way for you. I make way for you, O King of Kings, Lord that is above all lords, ruler, redeemer, and a friend, yes, to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Awaken us to life. Awaken us to possibility. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.